It is good to be here tonight because Asher, Toby, Lydia, now is it Soren or Soren? Soren. And Abby are publicly declaring, yes, I want to belong to the church. Yes, I want to stand up for what I believe. Yes, to Jesus' call to follow him on your journey through life. And you're doing that as you confirm the promises that were made on your behalf at your baptism. And John, now John, you are over there, you've moved, right? And John is committing at this stage of his journey following Jesus to live out his baptismal promises in the context of the Anglican Church here at St. Alf's. You're all taking responsibility for your faith, representing Jesus Christ in the world. We are Christ's ambassadors, as St. Paul will go on to describe us in verse 20 of chapter 5, but I think that's stay tuned for next week. God's co-workers in the world. 2 Corinthians, Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, we have, gives us an insight into the issues, the difficulties Paul the Apostle faced. In fact, Paul is having to defend himself as an apostle and his gospel, what it means to follow Jesus' pattern of dying and living, as you'll have been hearing as you've been in this series on 2 Corinthians. As he continues to defend himself and the gospel he proclaims, we also get an insight into what drives Paul, what motivates him, what keeps him going, to keep following that pattern of dying to self and living for Christ. And what will motivate you, being confirmed tonight and received, what will motivate all of us to say, I want to be part of this, I want to love and serve others, dying and living in the name of Jesus. In the first five verses of this chapter, Paul speaks of the promise of a new life, a new body, a new creation. To summarise it, basically, now we live in a tent, one day we'll live in a palace. I'm not going to expand on this to any great length. You can listen to Peter McPherson's sermon from this morning for that. But essentially, all that's done here in this life, earth, will find its fulfilment in a new dimension, eternal heaven. And God has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, verse 5. God has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. And that is what your water baptism is a sign of. New birth in the Spirit. God's gift to all his people in the present time. God's gift is the first instalment and guarantee of the new life yet to come. The Spirit, as Paul says in Romans chapter 8, was the means by which God raised Jesus himself, and the Spirit will do the same for us. This evening, I'll be praying specifically for the strengthening of the Holy Spirit. It's important that I do that because following Jesus will not always be easy. Paul is giving testament to that, as I said. There will be struggles. There will be challenges in wherever following Jesus takes you, wherever this life takes you. But what Paul wants anyone reading these verses to understand is that his present work as an apostle, with all its struggles, with all its challenges, also is carried by the Spirit, the sure hope of resurrection. Once you realise that you may learn to see not only Paul, but your own selves in quite a new light. You may have the confidence that Paul speaks of, the confidence that gives him courage. Yes, we know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We actually don't have certainty in this life of everything. We trust God. We have certitude around the important things, but we live by faith, not by sight. And that's why this evening I'll also be praying for the sevenfold gifts of the Spirit: grace, wisdom and understanding, discernment in the choices you make, how to act, and inner strength, knowledge and true godliness. Yes, Paul has no doubt where he would prefer to be. He'd prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord, verse 8, but wherever we are, our aim, we make it our goal to please the Lord. For verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So there, Paul is talking about the judgment seat, which is a bit like our law court cases, which tend to be off in a building somewhere, but the judgment seat was right there. In fact, from Acts chapter 18, we know Paul has already stood before the judgment seat of Gallio, the Roman governor in Corinth, just as the Lord Jesus stood before the judgment seat of Pilate in Jerusalem. The issue for Paul is not whether he'll be condemned or not, not whether he'll be saved or not. Tonight you'll be saying, I turn to Christ. And you say that because you trust in Jesus' death and resurrection for you. And we're reminded in Romans, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. The issue is, how will he, Paul's ministry, mission, his vocation, be evaluated? Will the Lord commend him or not? God's gift to Paul was to be an apostle. The gospel was entrusted to him. And one day he will stand before the Lord to give an account of his faithfulness as a missionary. What's your gift from God? That is, what's your ministry, your vocation at this stage of your life? And if that's making your mind go blank, then pray that the Spirit will be opening that up for you, giving you that wisdom and discernment to see as God sees the gift that is in you and the gift that God is longing to use in you. What difference does it make to you that what you've done will one day be made manifest, shown, be made visible at the judgment seat of Christ? How faithfully have we used our time? How well have we pursued opportunities for Christ? How single-minded have we been, will we be, in our Christian service? Who have we been trying to please? The teaching about the judgment seat, before which all must come, believers included, is not about, you know, duty. It's not about escaping punishment. That is, it's not about us in the end or about Paul. It reminds us we have been saved not for a life of indifference, not for a life lived for our own sake, not for a life lived with no purpose, but for a life of serving the Lord. The judgment seat of the Lord reminds us that while we are justified by faith alone, the faith that justifies is expressed by love and in love and obedience. We're saved not by good works, but we are saved for good works. Why? Well, at the end of the day, what Paul will go on to make clear, and sorry, I have to go a little bit into the next few verses, but listen again next week. What it's all about is love, the love of Christ. When you stand tonight, as you're about to do, stand and declare, I turn to Christ, as you have before, John. You are responding to the love of God that in Christ has reached out, reached down, and reached you. And who will send you out to reach others in the name of Christ's love. And we look forward to seeing how God is going to gift you and strengthen you through his Spirit to do that.